Welcome back to IndyCan Radio. This week, it's the Ottawa indie scene. I'm going to let Doug and Woodstock take over. Later in the show, we're going to interview Chris Smith, a photographer from Halifax that Doug and I met at Halifax Pop Explosion. But first, I'll introduce you to the Cogs.
All right, y'all, this song's called Me Nor Hell, and here's how we roll it.
Mean dog howling, howling away. Mean dog howling, howling away. If the sheriff don't find you, I'll shut you in. Yeah, 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 yeah. Busted in with your 45 cell. Lay down, boys, if you wanna stay alive. Well, mean dog howling, howling away. If that sheriff don't find you, I'll shelter you in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Shot when here I come with my buggy full of sin. And if that sheriff don't find you, I'll shut you in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
Hi, this is Douglas from IndyCan East in Ottawa, and we're here today with the Cogs in the studio.
Woohoo!
And I'm here with the lovely Woodstock, who
hey,
is co-hosting with me now and going to be hosting on her own very shortly with a lot of bands as well. Get used to Woodstock. She's a sweetie, and we're glad to have her here at IndyCan.
Thanks, Doug. It's good to be here. Hey. I'm pretty pumped.
I'm loving it.
Lots of shows lined up. Yeah, so today we're here with the Cogs for my debut episode.
How's it going, guys?
Jeff, Travis, and Mike. Mike, for example, when you're coming up with the drum tracks, do you lay those out yourself, or do you have others collaborate to give
you
ideas?
Well, most of the time, I'll come up with my own stuff, and once in a while, Jeff will give me an idea what kind of groove he wants, and then I'll usually take it and change it to what. Right. What I'm comfortable with.
He'll make it
with.
Good. Yeah. But yeah, like I...
So it's just a feeling, and yeah, it just, you guys get together, it's just, yeah, when musicians get together, that's what happens. It's just a feeling, and you all just kind of go with it.
What we sort of did early on was we sort of developed, you know, in the first year or so, we developed kind of a general structure, sort of laying out, you know, just what we were comfortable with when writing songs. So I think in the early stages, we all sort of collaborated to develop that. And what Jeff tends to do now is just when he comes up with new ideas and introduces them, we all just sort of subconsciously apply our structure that we developed. So so we approach it that way. It usually comes out pretty easy.
The Red
White
House. It's like
it was that Bush comment.
Yeah. It's like it's all set up, and all I have to do is bring a simple idea now, and it's just they know what to do, you know. And I think sometimes the songs have a certain flow. If you're writing a song, you want it to sort of sound a certain way, or you know, you want the beat to be danceable or whatever. And I'll just, you know, that kind of thing to Mike, and he takes it from there, sort of thing.
And
same with Travis, you know, like I'll have the basic bare bones of it, but you know, they both run with it, right?
Right. Wow. So the creative process for you is just, you get a song in your head?
Yeah. I just sit down with the guitar. And,
I have a lot of them in my head, too.
I don't seem to be able to just play guitar anymore. Like, I'll grab a guitar, and 5 minutes later, there's a tune or an idea or something. It's just constant. Like, it's just making stuff up all the time.
Still one of my favorite songs is one you didn't even write on a guitar. The country tune you wrote in your head.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I used to ride the bus a lot, so I'd be, you know, I'd come home and I'd have a whole song in my head, and in the shower too a lot. It's funny.
Or walking home.
For me, it was. For me, I used to get interesting cadences and stuff like that in my head.
Yeah.
Whenever, like, when I was a young lad in Toronto, and you'd take the subway and stuff like that, or different things like that, and those urban textures and rhythms that you would get were always spawning ideas for me.
Yeah, or you know, you're walking and you hear your pant legs even sometimes, and you know, you get that rhythm and something comes. Ain't it nice on the album? There was completely conceived of in the shower. Like I was literally just, you know, singing and that was the whole song. And then I bring it to the Rainbow where we play every week, and you know, we show up early, we set up our stuff, and I play the riff, and I say, well, here's how it's going to go, verse, chorus, solo, verse, chorus, let's try it, and that's that, and then it just kind of goes from there.
Wow.
We've canned out a lot of songs that just didn't work because we couldn't play them the way we wanted it to feel.
Yeah.
Right.
We'd play a song 3 weeks in a row, one night in the week, and we couldn't get it after that. We just kind of lay it down and save that for a later on time where
you
we can
forget about the ones.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just completely go away.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. Yeah. If it's good enough, you'll remember.
If it didn't stand the test,
you know, it'll be the first thing you want to play next week.
pavement that you pound. Can't ignore the sound, barking of the hound in this ordinary little town. Yeah. All right, y'all. Here we go. Oh, look out, Mike.
For doing anything like a video, I know you're. I wouldn't ask you about another album because that's always going on.
Yeah,
we're thinking of doing a video to support.
We were thinking of doing a video. A couple friends of ours, Travis and I, work at an audiovisual company, so we know lots of technicians and stuff. Mm-hmm. So a couple of friends of ours actually did a live taping of the CD release party.
Right.
And. We should be getting some stuff from that eventually, but I've also talked with them about actually doing a real, you know, staged video and that sort of thing. You know, it'll happen.
Which song do you think you're gonna?
I was thinking.
What song do you think?
11. Ooh. Yeah, but.
Oh God, you're I'd say Raised by Wolves.
Yeah.
What would the theme be? Should we brainstorm it now
The thing with these guys is we kind of just want to leave it to them, sort of thing, you know. It's our buddy Doug Rotar, he's very talented at that sort of thing. So
You're not actually going. You're just kind of let him
roll with it.
Carte blanche.
Yeah, he put he videotaped us in 2004, playing at Mavericks. In November, and there's a live video of that up on YouTube, on our site. It's the song Elevator. It's the first track off that album.
Thecogs.com.
Yeah, that's an older song that we rehashed for this one. It's never actually been recorded properly. But anyways, he did a really nice job on the video. It's a live shot, and it's well put together. So
I'd love to hear the first recording.
The rough.
Just to see how did it change much? Between
no, like you know what? Right down to the solo, I think I copied it. That live version was just
improv.
You know, we never play the same thing twice. Like, you know, the song never comes out the same way.
That's awesome.
It's that whole Zeppelinish sort of jamming idea. You know,
awesome.
That's one of the things I was kind of disappointed when I saw the YouTube videos, was that it's like you know, the new Zeppelin show is it's just. Okay, let's do this number, boys. It's over. And you can tell they've practiced it a million times, and they're just kind of being a cover band almost, you know, instead of that old Zeppelin mutated.
Yeah, there wasn't the life on stage.
Exactly.
You know, it's like a cover band of their own stuff.
Yeah. Right. And we try to make everything, because we play a house gig, you almost have to do that, or the people aren't going to come out. They're gonna get bored. You know, and
we're gonna get bored.
And we're gonna get bored, which is even worse. So,
what's the point?
I mean, weird stuff happens. Like,
you love what you do.
We'll just change up the whole. You know, we'll take a slow song and say, okay, let's try this fast today and try it with a different beat and see if it works out. And if it does, we do that. We take older songs, some of the songs that we do forget about. Say, you know, that's a good song, but you know, we want to make the people dance or whatever. So let's put a dance beat to that and let's try it now. And it becomes something totally different, and it's cool, and it works.
That's allows
you to develop much as an artist.
And the key is to not put any barriers, saying this has to happen here, this has to happen here. Let whatever happens happens. Yeah. And these guys are so good at following me. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It amazes me. You know, it's like
if hair stands up on the back of your neck.
I have the freedom to just basically do whatever I want and know that these two are going to be there.
That's
you know,
awesome,
no matter what.
That's fantastic.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what makes it easy. You know, it's simple, and then you have these two guys following me. And it's brilliant.
Oh, man. Wow. My two favorite songs.
I agree.
My two favorite songs to play live now are the two that we've recently remixed.
Yeah.
Finding a Place to Live and
Side Roads. Yeah.
Sure. If there's anything you want to bring up and get out there, because we may not know some things.
So. Okay. we've been involved with a guy named Marcus Lamoureux, who puts on a great art show every once a month. And he does them at Zaphod's, Babylon, and the Mercury Lounge.
Basement artist.
Right.
It's
and
called,
that's
yeah.
The last
that was
show
one
that
of the shows
had.
That we were at
that's
when
right.
we saw you play at Zaphod's.
Right.
Zaphod's
right.
Yeah. So for the next coming year, we're pretty much in Ottawa. We're exclusively just doing the Rainbow Friday, 5 to 7, and Marcus's shows as well.
Fabulous.
And we headline those shows, and they're great because you've got, 15 to 20 artists, so you've got really cool stuff there and, reasonable prices.
I've seen it's pretty
fantastic. And it fills the place because everyone who has art there is selling tickets and all the other bands are selling tickets, and so the place is always packed every time. People have a great time and it's, and we love Marcus. Like, he's also an artist. He does great stuff. And we're just so happy that he supports us that way and has
great.
Us out for every show. Like it's
right.
it's and it, it
yeah
it's,
I want to plug Marcus as well because I got to meet him that night and he is truly a nice guy and we're going to I'm committed and we're going to start helping him promote these shows too.
Yeah,
right. Excellent.
And give him more exposure because I had a fun night and I think that it's something that people should know more about.
It
should be growing.
It's a fantastic idea. It's brilliant.
You can catch the Cogs at thecogs.com, and they're also on MySpace. They have a MySpace presence as well.
MySpace/thecogs.
Thanks for coming out, guys.
Well, thanks for
it's having,
pleasure
having you on the show.
Us. It's been a pleasure.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's the
idea.
That
was balls out fun.
Yeah. Right on.
Mr. Douglas, I'd like to thank you for coming out, and again, make sure when you hear the Cogs are coming to town that you go there, and you can say, I knew them when...
To break
couple of stands, thought I'm into a song. Wait, baby, pick up the pace and buy me some time. Wait, in a second I'm better, I've been doing just fine.
Fun band from the Valley. These guys will be coming up on two different episodes. They'll be doing an Insiders with some technology that they have for web and for gig sticks and stuff like that. And they'll also be doing a live off the floor and great indie tradition show coming up soon. I'm excited about that. Before that was Loud Love with Longboard and Prosper. And to lead off was Love Machine with We Are Squirrels, This Is Nuts. Now, Love Machine had a show just last night here in town playing at Greenfields. I couldn't go because of time restraints, but you and Joe got to catch the show, and I'm so envious. Tell me all about it so I can live vicariously through you.
Doug, you missed one of Ottawa's best live acts last night. These guys are getting very well known for their live gigs, which, as you know, I think is extremely important. They sound good live, they look good live, the feeling, they've got the crowd completely, it's completely interactive experience. They're right out there with the crowd, really good feeling. And they're high energy, good sounds, really great bunch of guys with a great sense of humor. The Love Machine, their live shows, they've used in the past, and we'll talk to them more in depth about it, but in the past they've used like confetti cannons, and they've got t-shirts where they put part of the crowd in a specific t-shirt and another part of the crowd in a different t-shirt, and give out these homemade shakers and all kinds of stuff. The Love Machine really gets
a band that brings swag to every show.
And they're so creative. And they self-represent. This band, I'm really excited about it. They're huge. And they just released a new album. We'll be talking to them about that when they come in. It's called, the album's called If You're a Bird, I'm a Bird. And it's available on iTunes now. So they're making some progress there for sure.
I could do a whole show on Who Names Your Songs.
Yeah.
I'm a bird. Really, you're creative. A bird. We are squirrels.
Well, actually,
this is nuts.
You know, and I want to ask them a lot about their creative process, because all three of them collaborate
Now, coming up is a band, I See Rowboats. They're out of Halifax. Joe and I were down at the Halifax Pop Explosion, and we've had some stuff up already from that. You have to imagine there was like over 100 bands in 5 days, so there was so much material came out of that trip, and you'll be seeing lots of it. And I hope it doesn't get redundant, but there's just great talent there. Anyway, I See Rowboats is coming up with a tune called In Cars. And just before that, we're going to be playing a song by Neil Ford. Now, Neil Ford's an interesting guy. He's a new import to Canada. Mm-hmm. He's from L.A. He's worked with Phoebe Snow, Prince, and their band. Done a lot of work. He's really happy to be Canadian. Owns a studio close to here. Wants to join the fold. We're going to be having him in probably as an insider, as well as doing a live off-the-floor show here in IndyCan. I look forward to that show very much. I hope you do too.
New York City in the summertime, walking every street, looking for whatever I may find. A box of memories in the trash, I just walk home by. I listen to the blues sing a crying his tune, the saxophone spilling out a poor man's soul. Well, I had a pot of gold, but now I'm all alone, and I ain't got no place in. Oh my.
Alright.
this town, all is right, the colonel said to me. Can't ever make it in this town, we should leave, throw your stones and see.
How you doing? I'm Douglas with IndyCan Radio, and we're here to have a really nice interview with Chris. Chris is a photographer out of the Halifax area. That the minute I seen his stuff, I fell in love with it and needed to talk to this man and ask him how he comes about doing a lot of this stuff. One of the things you'll find out in this interview is that Chris has not only got a fabulous eye, but he's got a really good mind. He doesn't need an artistic director. He can suffice on his own quite easily. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is Chris.
Hello there. Welcome to Halifax Pop Explosion.
How long have you been doing this in town? How long have you been at the photography end of things for bands?
Well, I moved here 4.5 years ago to do it full time. Previous to that, I was working at ad agencies and managing the art departments and things like that. So, but after a while, just doing really corporate stuff constantly and being a band guy at heart. I used to work in college radio and booked bands and things like that. Just one day, I just like, that's it. I'm combining the two things I love, the visual arts and the music. So I quit, started my own company, moved to Halifax, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Have you had a studio of your own, or do you work like more guerrilla shoots on the fly?
Definitely kind of guerrilla. Well, I mean, not so much on the fly. I plan it out, scout locations and whatnot. But I'm not a big studio guy because then everything looks the same.
Generic.
Yeah, and I'm just not at a point where I can really just, build my own set. When I get a budget like that, then maybe I'll be more of a studio guy, but in the meantime I have to rely on what's built around the city.
Yeah. I noticed you're doing work for some of the finer artists around too, like Joel Plaskett. I've had the pleasure of working with Joel, and how do you find that?
Oh, I love working with all those guys, man. Yeah. They're a good crew. Yeah.
But I want to come back to how you came up with the name Funk Factor, because I just love it.
Okay, well, I was in my office one day and I had these, funky set of glasses. And one of the guys I worked with, who was, well, basically, I was the fashion, he was the function. I headed up the art department, he headed up the code department. So just ironically enough, we were very much in our own stereotypical places, shall we say, in the company. And he put on my glasses one day and he's just like, I don't think I have enough funk factor to pull these off. And there's just something about that, I just really rung well with me. So I went and registered it. And at that point, it was just a site for me to put my non-corporate work, just stuff that had nothing to do with how I was actually making money at that point, just photography and graphic design, things that I did purely for fun. And then, luckily for me, my fun actually became my full-time job.
It's great work if you can get it, eh?
Man, that's for sure.
You know what? I've done photography. I have a bit of a history in it, too. I'm not as accomplished a photographer as you are, but I did it for a few years for radio stations and stuff like that, for web content and whatnot. And one of the things that I've noticed coming and doing the festivals and stuff like that is the clubs and stuff really don't take into consideration that people are going to come and promote their clubs and shoot their clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a peeve with me. It always has been. And I'm hoping that maybe we can take this opportunity to educate.
You're preaching to the choir.
You know, exactly.
If we can, I hear you.
Yeah, amen. So, you know, maybe for the clubs that would... the clubs that we have a lot of club owners that come and check out Indie Can a lot of the time, because a lot of the bands that will be playing their clubs and hopefully will play their clubs, they're checking them out.
Mm.
So what advice would you have for club owners and even for band management and promoters in regards to how they can have a better relationship with the media that's going to shoot these events for them, so we can come up with better material to make them look better as well?
Totally. So with you there, you have no idea.
Right off the top of the mind for me, I honestly start thinking of the Fog Machines. They use it in the first song and you're like screwed for the rest of the night. Or red gels on the in the front of the stage.
Yeah, exactly. They look great on the backdrop, the outline. Here's the things I don't like. I don't like when there's no light on the actual back, because if, say, the guy's black hair, he's just going to blend right into it.
Lost.
There's no differentiation from the colors. So having nice washes on the back, mwah, very nice. Having actually some white or maybe yellow light on the faces actually shows them as human beings, as opposed to red demons and things like that. Red just, if anyone out there, if you don't understand, red and cameras do not mix. It's like gum and nuts, okay? It's just not a winning combination. Red cameras just can't read red. I guess a lot of light techs don't understand, especially if, you know, for what we need, is that light needs to be somewhat balanced. If it's super bright on the guitar and only half here, it means you either gotta, if you get the face right, the guitar is just gonna be white. So it's like having a drum kit and a guy playing harmonica and you're trying to mic it with the same mic. You can't do it. It just doesn't work. You can't do a mix that way. It's the exact same thing with light. If the lights are too far off on the same subject, you just can't shoot it.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Joe before we were going to do some of the interviews today. I thought of like snoots. You know, like when they're shooting with a snoot light. You know, so even if you don't have a great mind for lighting technology and what it does to your photographers when they're shooting you, even the snoot idea where they can at least have something like a controlled white spot for a head or something.
Mm.
You know, that at least you can get those nice shots with the headshot, no matter what else is going on.
Oh man, when you're at a venue and the light is just there, I mean, oh, it's just lens candy. You know, bit of an it gets you all so pumped. But when there's a good band and there's no light, it puts you in a foul mood, because there's just nothing you can do. And especially at something like this, I mean, we're at the Halifax Pop Explosion. Bands have come from all over, you know, from down the street to Japan and many places in between. So if a band's got to come all that way, part of what they want, aside from playing, is to try and get a little extra promotion. If there's no light on them, the press show up, take some photos, can't use any of them, well then you just kind of screwed over that band to get the part of the press as part of the why they came here.
Yes.
So it's also frustrating for me, but it's also kind of really unfair to some of those bands.
Yeah.
Especially when you're doing, in a situation like this, the opening band not getting much light and then the headliners, it gets brighter and brighter as the night goes on. I mean, again, this is a festival. This is not a touring thing. So everybody should get light. Everybody should get the chance to get the kick at the can, get a good looking show, and hopefully get some extra press out of it.
I'd like to make a suggestion for the bands, for the artists that are touring, and get to know your photographers where you're going and stuff like that. Do a bit of get to the venue a little early and see who's some of the photographers that are there shooting that night. Get to talk to them. Find out what they want from you. Because a lot of bands, when they're starting out in the indie scene, really don't know how to work for a photographer when they're on stage, and that's a big part of it, too. And I would suggest, you know, if you're ever in Halifax, you're probably going to see Chris's smiling face at the show. And if you do, he's a very approachable guy. Come and talk to him, because I'll guarantee if you spend 5 minutes with Chris before you take to the stage, you're going to have a much better product at the end of the night to work with.
If you can tie a noose around his ankle, he's always moving.
Chris, I hate to do that inference, but he's like Tinkerbell. You know what I mean? Like 1 minute he's here, and then in a flash he's over there somewhere. And I don't know how you do it in a crowded room like
someone
that.
Someone told me he's twins.
I prefer to be referenced to as a hummingbird on crack.
There you go.
Instead of Tinkerbell, you know. Well, just saying.
I'm comfortable with my sexuality. I did ask for forgiveness before I did bring it up. I was getting into skating on thin ice there. If you see on the table here in front of me, I have many CDs here, and this is just a sampling of some of the stuff that Chris has been involved in. And this Halifax scene is incredible. Chris is so fortunate to come from Halifax. One thing we found out for sure since we've been here is there's no better place in Canada, and I strongly believe that, where you can get finer support. Even government support and musician support, artist support on all levels. In
very
this town,
so.
You're a shining blueprint for what should be going on in the rest of Canada.
Yeah, no, there's some great support here. East Coast is, well, I guess in particular, Halifax and, Nova Scotia and Newfoundland. And Newfoundland's actually where I'm from, and they have a really good system there, too. Especially the big thing with Newfoundland is that we're an island, so it's really hard to get our butts off the island. So there's a lot of touring grants there. That's where a lot of their money goes. So I used to be on the board there of Music Newfoundland, and so I know, you know, everything that they're going through, really trying to get bands just out of there. That's the big step, is just getting butts in bands, and getting them on that ferry, and getting them to Sydney, and then getting them further across Canada. But yeah, there's lots of great funding here between, you know, just the Factor, which is obviously the national, but Music Nova Scotia, and I say specifically, and Music Newfoundland and Labrador have such great funding for different kinds of things. There's emerging artist things, so if you're a really small band, maybe even ready to make a full album or anything, but you need money for posters to help you get to that point, you can get money for that. So just all the things, I mean, it takes money to run a band. I mean, I know it's your art and your love, but gas is expensive. So if you want a tour, someone's got to fill that tank.
Well, Chris, so. if people want to find out more about you, how can they get a hold of you?
Best thing to do is check out the old website. It's pretty update. Funkfactor.com. That's the place to go. Lots of photos, lots of CDs, all that jazz.
Just before we go quickly, I want to touch base on Chris Smith, our buddy from the East Coast. Now, what did you get from that interview? Now, we had the pleasure of meeting him at the Firecracker. What did you think of him?
Oh, you know what? Right off the bat, this guy, you can sense that he's got a huge amount of passion for what he does. He's really, really passionate. He's doing 150s, just like me, all over the board, right
he's
out there,
everywhere.
Total hummingbird. I've been told by people, like friends and of mine, that, you know, why am I doing that?
Look, go to funkfactor.com. That's all I can tell you is go to funkfactor.com. That's where Chris Smith lives. Go check out his work. He's phenomenal. Now, we're going to hear a tune from one of my Ottawa favorites, Tim Smith. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
I took a diamond from a cave, and I cut it on a boy. There's a voice inside me, but I didn't listen, Lord. Bloody diamonds and black gold, think I dug too deep. Bloody diamonds and black gold, now I'm green with greed. Turn for ya. Mother Nature's whipping me into sublime euphoria. and black gold. Think I dug too deep. Bloody diamonds and black gold. Now I'm green with greed.
Thank you for listening to the Canadian Indie Scene, an IndieCan music production. For a complete list of artists featured on today's show, please visit at IndieCan.com or MySpace.com/IndieCanMusic.